Father, bless these words to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 9. In verse 6, the Word of God says, "Unto us a child is born." Who is he born unto? Unto us. He was given for us. Please understand that. When it says, "Unto us a child is born," and of course this is talking about Christ, and it says, "Unto us a son is given," this is talking about Christ being given to us. Sometimes we have this idea that Christ is over there, I'm over here, I can ask him or talk to him, he cares about me, yes, but we're kind of separate, we might be a little bit distant, and even if we're not distant, we're still separate. That's not correct. He was given to us. That's the amazing thing about God. He gave himself to us. Why did he give himself to us? In 2 Corinthians 5:18, so that we can be reconciled to him. That means so that we can be one with him. So that we can have a life with him, a friendship. A real relationship with him. By the way, a relationship with Christ will make all your other relationships much, much better than they would be without him. He was given to us, and the government will be on his shoulder. And then it continues, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." It says the government will be on his shoulder. What is a government? And we think of government, we think like maybe the United States government, the president and the Congress and all this. But with Christ, it's a little bit different. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that the government of God is a government of grace. Grace is one of the most important things that exists. And in the Christian's life, it is the most important thing. Grace is the reason why we can have God in our lives. Grace is the reason why we can come to him no matter what condition we're in, no matter what has happened, whether we did it, somebody else did it, nobody did it, it just happened. No matter what it is, grace is the reason why we can come to him. And it is the government of God. There's three parts to grace. Most people, if you ask them, most Christians, and you ask them, what's grace? They will tell you it's undeserved favor. God does something for you even though you don't deserve it. That's only partly true. That kind of a grace will work for you some of the times, but not all of the time. Grace actually has three parts. It is undeserved favor. Yeah, God does things for you that you don't deserve. Yes, that is one of the parts. But there's two others. In Ephesians 2:7, it's also the kindness of God. Part of God's government, part of the authority that he has, part of the structure of the government, the rule that he has, he is a king. And the way that he does things is through kindness. This is why you can always run to God with no matter what your problem is. Whether you caused it or somebody else caused it or it just happened for no apparent reason. Whatever the problem is, whatever the issue is, good or bad, doesn't make any difference at all. You can always run to God with it. If you ever make a mistake, you do something you shouldn't have done, don't hide from God with it. That's something that people will do sometimes. They do something, they know they shouldn't have done it, and then they feel guilty. And because they feel guilty, they'll hide from God as though he's going to beat them up or punish them or something because of it. God doesn't work that way. If you make a mistake, the best way to figure out what to do with it, the best way to solve it, is to run to God with it. He is a phenomenal problem solver. He's a phenomenal mistake corrector. If you make a mistake, run to God with it. Tell him about it. Ask him what to do about it. Ask him to fix it. Even if it hurts people, God forbid it happen, but it happens sometimes. Even if your mistake ever hurts people, run to God with it. Tell Him about it. Ask Him to fix it. Ask Him to help you in it. Don't ever think that God will not help you because it's your mistake. God is the master of helping people who make mistakes. He loves helping people who make mistakes. As a matter of fact, it says in Ezekiel 33:11 that God takes pleasure in helping people who make mistakes. So never think to yourself that you cannot come to God because you made a mistake. It's kind of like this. Let's say that you're goofing off and you fall down and you break your leg and your arm. And you know you shouldn't have been goofing off, but you don't anyway. So what are you going to do? Well, probably you're going to want an ambulance called to take you to the hospital to get it fixed so that the arm and the leg won't be broken anymore. A person who is afraid to come to God because of a mistake is like the person who hurts themselves but is afraid to call an ambulance. Can you imagine you hurt yourself and you don't want to call the ambulance because, well, I was goofing off and I shouldn't have been, so I don't want to call the ambulance. That doesn't make any sense. That's weird thinking. But that's like the person who does not want to come to God if they make a mistake. The ambulance is the first step to solving your mistake, to solving your problem, to solving the fact that you're hurt. In the same way, coming to God is the first step to solving the mistake, to getting help with whatever the mistake is. So don't ever be afraid to come to God with a mistake. God is kind. If you come to Him with a mistake, He will show you kindness. That's His character. Don't ever doubt it. God will always show you kindness if you come to Him. No one who ever comes to God gets anything different than kindness. So you have undeserved favor. In other words, God does something for you that you don't deserve. You have the kindness of God. And then it is also a government. The government of God simply works by my trusting Him and responding to Him. In other words, just like your parents, if your parents tell you to do something, you know that your parents are telling you what is important or what is good for you or what have you. And so you follow what they're telling you. If you have any smarts, that's what you'll do. However, sometimes people don't want to do what God says to them because they're like, I don't know if I want to do that. Well, yeah, you do want to do that. Because He's the one who's telling you the best things for you. He's the one who's telling you how things are going to go well for you. He's the one who's taking care of you. He's watching out for you. The advantage God has that even your parents don't have is that God knows what's going to happen next. As a matter of fact, God knows what's going to happen for the entire rest of your life. So when He says something, pay attention. He knows. That's what it means that it's a government. The government is on Him. And then it continues, His name will be called Wonderful. Now, when you're thinking of the name of God, it's not just, what do you call Him? Right? You're in school and you want to know, hey, what's your name? So you know when you say that, you can get that person's attention. That's not that kind of a name. It's more like this. You know the kid in class who's really smart? You guys can all identify the kid in class who's really smart, right? Maybe it's you. But you know who the kid is. And when you see that kid, albeit you know what to call that kid, you say to yourself, that's the kid that's really smart. It's like that. It's really more a characteristic, a quality of the person. So when God says His name is wonderful, it says His characteristics. What is He like? Well, He's wonderful. And wonderful isn't just, oh, He's so great. Wonderful means he's marvelous, full of wonders and miracles. Well, Ephesians 3:20 says that God goes above anything you can ask or think. By the way, that's one of the reasons why you want to go to him for all of your decisions. Because what he helps you with, what he shows you, what he gives to you is above anything you can even ask or think. I say to myself, well, I can ask or think a lot. And God says, not like I can. So you always want to go to him because he gives you above and beyond anything you can ask or think. That's a lot more than most people. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen. So nobody has ever even seen this or ear heard. Neither has it entered into the mind of a man the things that God has prepared for those who loved him. In other words, the things that God prepares for you, you can't even imagine. You want to have a really good life? Beyond what you could imagine? God gives it to you. Before I became a Christian, I always wanted to travel. That was my number one desire. I really wanted to travel. But I never did. And when I became a Christian, within a year, I was going to foreign countries. I never dreamt of that. I never thought it would be remotely possible. But I've been to more countries than I can count off the top of my head. Why? God did that. He gives you above all you can ask or think. He gives you, he plans for you, he prepares for you things you can't even imagine. Then it says he's the counselor, and he is. In John 16:13, it says that the Holy Spirit guides you in all truth. That means that no matter what the situation, God is there to help you, to guide you, to give you wisdom. You ever been in a situation where you don't know what to do? I'm sure you have, and I'll guarantee you that you will be in there again. The beauty of it is, even though every human being finds themselves in situations where they don't know what to do, God gives you those answers. And sometimes he doesn't say to you, well, do this. God, should I get the blue car or the red car? Get the red car. No, it's not like that. What God does is, without even knowing it, he causes you to make the right choices when you ask him. If you don't ask him, he'll leave you alone. He's a gentleman. He doesn't push himself on you. But when you do ask him, he'll cause you to make the right choices. He'll put the right thoughts in your mind, and you'll be making the right decisions. You think it's you, but it's actually him. And later on, when you look back, sometimes you see, wow, that really was God. Wow, I'm really glad that I didn't do the other thing that I was considering. That really was God. The amazing thing is, when you ask him, it works like that every time. He's a counselor. You have a problem, tell him about it. He's a counselor. You don't know what to do, ask him. He's a counselor. You have things between you and other people. How do I go about this friendship? He's a counselor. What do I do about this situation? He's a counselor. What decisions should I make? He's a counselor. Ask him. He's the only counselor that knows the future, so ask him. He's the only counselor that knows the result of all the different possibilities. Well, if you do this, this will be the result. If you do that, this will be the result. And it's guaranteed. So ask him. He's been given to you. So take advantage of that. Says he's a mighty God. The fact that he's a mighty God, that is really good for us. That means that he delivers us and he saves us in Psalm 37:40. He protects us. Somebody comes against me, he deals with them. You'll be surprised how that works. It's going to happen to you in life that people are going to oppose you. And sometimes they will oppose you just because they don't like you. It's not because there's anything wrong with you. As a matter of fact, often for the Christian, it happens because there's everything right with you. And people who are not right will oppose people who are right. When that happens, don't worry about it. Sometimes it can even happen with teachers, students, classmates. It's unfortunate, it shouldn't happen, but it can happen. When that happens, don't worry about it. Don't let it intimidate you. Don't let it make you nervous or afraid. Just know that God is going to take care of it. You just relax. You do what you need to do. You do your best at everything that you do, and God will take care of it. That person will be taken care of for you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to fight the battle. You don't have to fight with them. For that matter, often you don't even have to answer them. God will take care of it for you. He's very faithful to do that. He will take care of it for you. Remember, He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. He will take care of it for you. He is very good at solving your problems with other people. Whatever it is, if it's not a problem with a person but a difficult circumstance, don't worry about it. God will take care of it for you. You think you don't have what you need, God will make sure you have what you need. It may be in ways that you didn't expect, but you will have absolutely everything you need. God promises it. So don't worry. He's a mighty God. He's very powerful, and He's very effective. He's an everlasting Father. You know the way that your dad loves you? Well, your dad's a human being, and he loves you like a human being, and that's right. But God loves you like a father who's not a human being. In other words, take the way that your dad loves you and magnify it a million times. God will never stop loving you because He is your everlasting Father. That's what it means. His fatherly love toward you lasts forever. Even when you make mistakes, the way that He'll correct you in a mistake is He'll love you into you forsaking that mistake. It's Jeremiah 31:3. When you realize how much God loves you, nothing else is all that interesting. Nothing else really appeals to you. When you realize what God has to give to you, what God plans for you, what He desires for you, nothing else will captivate you. Now, I'm not saying that it's not some activity that He'll have you do activities. He'll have you perhaps get a job or be an engineer or whatever it is. But when He's involved in it, it goes to a totally different level of contentment and satisfaction and pleasure and joy in it. Because He's an everlasting Father. Your dad wants you to be happy. Your dad wants you to have the things you need. God even more so. He's the Prince of Peace. Now, as a kid, this may be a little hard to understand. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But a lot of kids don't. But adults sometimes don't have peace in their lives. The worries of life, for example, get in the way. How am I going to take care of my family? My child is having problems, whatever. Relationships, whatever. The job, whatever. Well, God is the Prince of Peace. That means that He is in charge of giving you peace. The way that He does that in Psalm 119, 165 is through the Word of God. It says there that great peace have they that love God's Word. And nothing will move them. Nothing will offend them. Can you imagine that? Let me ask you something. Have you ever been offended? Kind of your feelings are a little bit hurt and you're a little bit mad about it. And you're like, why did they do that? Or why did they say that? That's pretty nasty. And you start to not like them because of it. Has that ever happened to you? It happens to most people. God says, if you love God's word, In other words, love to receive God's word. God's word is just not ideas. That's a lot more than ideas. It's not a philosophy. It's a reality. He says, if you love God's word, that is to say, if you love to receive God's word, it'll produce something in you. And that thing that it produces in you makes it very difficult to offend you, to move you, to sway you. You ever meet the kid who's easily swayed? The cool kid says something and the not-so-cool kid always has to go after what the cool kid says? Well, you know what? You don't want to be that kid. You look at him like, he's a jerk and now you're becoming a jerk. Why? Because he told you to be a jerk. That's rich. No, it's like this. When you have God's word, you become very secure. All the insecurity goes. You become very secure. You become very confident. And you also become very strong against the things that come against you. People who are easily offended or hurt, their problem is not the person or the situation. Their problem is their relationship to the Word of God. A person who really has a rich relationship to the Word of God, in other words, they receive it, they trust it, they keep getting it, it becomes the foundation of the way they think, that person becomes a very difficult person to hurt, to offend, to sway. That person becomes very confident. You can say anything you want to that person. They're still human, but they won't be moved by it. Why? Because God's word becomes their strength. God's word becomes their emotional and mental protection. Knowing reality does wonders for people. And so he says he's the Prince of Peace. He's given these things to you. Those are things that he offers you. He wants you to have them. As a matter of fact, he came for the very purpose that you would have them. Not just people in general, you specifically. And the way that you get them is you take them from him. In other words, he offers you peace, so you go get the word of God. He offers you counsel, so you ask him. He offers you miracles. Well, the word of God says, you have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. God, what I'm looking for is impossible. God says, nothing is impossible. What's impossible for man is possible with God. Nothing is impossible. And he offers it to you and he wants you to have it. Do you guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.